Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Project 223 podcast. Here we are coming at you. It's November 2023, and we're excited to be with you again for another episode of the Project 223 podcast. This is Brent the Bald Eagle, and we're coming at you from the Eagle's Nest in the Pacific Northwest area of Washington State, and we're happy to be with you. Well, we've been down a little bit. We've had some issues with the hardware, the podcasting hardware that we use, and so I'm working on that. Might have to send the machine back to the manufacturer for some upgrades. So we're going a little old school. We don't quite have the audio quality that we normally do, but we're making it work because we want to get an episode out to you as soon as we can. So we're glad you're here with us. Hope you guys are all getting ready for a good Thanksgiving time with family and friends. And so I'm excited. I got some family in town. We're going to be having a good time. So that's an exciting thing going on this week. First off, starting off, I wanted to talk about a few issues going on in the world. But before that, hitting back on Thanksgiving, I think it's important this time of year to think about Thanksgiving and to have an attitude of gratitude for all the amazing things that we have in this country and in our lives. Sometimes it can be easy to focus on the negative, focus on the problems and the things that are wrong with the world, with this country, with our local governments and things that are happening. But we need to always have a good attitude. We won't want to be negative Nancy's around here on the Project 223. We don't want to be walking around complaining or curmudgeons all crusty and, everything's terrible and blah, blah, blah. We want to be happy. We want to have joy in our hearts. We want to be people that other people want to be around and enjoy, having in their lives. So we want to be thankful for the good things that we have. So take some time this week to really think about all the good that we have. This country has been amazing. We still have a lot of freedom here to do the things that we want to do, to prepare for troubles and hard times. Some places in the world, as far as the economic conditions and things, people don't even have enough money to barely survive. But yet in the United States, the land of freedom and opportunity, you have the opportunity to go and work hard, to work one, two jobs if you want, to save your money, to spend it on things that will help you and your family and your neighborhoods and your community. So let's be thinking about those things, those positive things that we have in our life. And also, too, look to ways where you can serve your community. We don't want to be people that are just hoarding up goods and things for ourselves and only worried about our own life, but we want to make our neighborhoods, our families, our communities, better places. So this week, you personally, your family, if you have a preparedness group that you work with, community group, find ways where you can serve other people. Look to find those who are not as fortunate as you and see if there's things that you can do to help and minister to other people, especially for those of you who are followers of Christ, who call yourself Christians. We want to have love for one another, and the Bible says that the world, people will know that you are Christians by the love that you have for one another. So don't just talk the talk, but walk the walk and do what you can to make your world a better place. So I hope you have a great Thanksgiving week. Going on in the world right now, some current events, and I'm sure a lot of you are aware of these things, but some of you may not be. We have a well-informed audience on our podcast. Right now, still Israel is waging their campaign into the Gaza Strip, trying to root out the Hamas terrorists that waged a deadly, brutal, murderous attack in southern Israel on October 7th. And the Israeli defense forces are in there going through and trying to root out those terrorists. They're trying to also look for the hostages that were taken. Innocent women, children, old ladies, babies were just kidnapped and taken into the Gaza Strip there. And I imagine a lot of those are being hidden probably in the tunnels and different areas. They've found some bodies of some of those hostages already dead in the Gaza Strip. They're looking for the hostages. They're also going to try to root out the Hamas terrorists that perpetrated the attack. And they vowed that they're going to wipe them out. This was you see throughout the world right now also going on, is a lot of planned protests in big cities and in college campuses where people are actually trying to be pro-Palestinian and saying that you can't blame these these terrorists that went in and murdered babies and killed pregnant mothers. You can't blame them for raping these innocent civilians because they're an occupied people. Well, I don't care what you have going on as far as your political viewpoints on that, but to murder innocent women and children like that, that's not fighting a resistance fight. That is terrorism. And so on the Project 223, we disagree with that being a viable opinion of saying that they were justified in what they did. That was not a justified action that they did. And a lot of these protests that you see, a lot of the people you see out there protesting, many of them don't even really know what happened in the what's the conflict is all about and the history of the Palestinian people there in that region and the history of the nation of Israel. A lot of those people have no idea what actually has gone on in the past there. And there has been, they've exposed people that are funding these protests. There's people that are paying millions of dollars to generate this hostility. And these are people that want to destabilize the Middle East region. They want to destabilize the U.S. by doing these protests and trying to stir up trouble. So don't let yourself be drawn in by feelings and emotions. Look at what's actually happening. Do some research. Find out the history of that conflict and the struggle that's going on there and what happened. And be wise. Don't be drawn in to false flag events and to things that are happening that are trying to play on your emotions. Also, we know the war in Ukraine is kind of coming to a bit of a stalemate as the interests in Israel are going on. Our government has less and less interest in actually continuing to pour money into that conflict in Ukraine. That's not going to get us anywhere. All those, the billions of dollars that were spent there, and really it hasn't changed. Even if we would have spent nothing, we'd be in the same position that they're in now. So there's some interesting things happening with that. So let's keep an eye on what's happening in Ukraine and world events. Also, down on the southern border, many of you have seen what's happening down there. Basically, the current administration has left the border wide open. Anybody can come in. And what that has done is it has caused throughout the world people to realize that, hey, we can come send whoever we want down there through South America, up through Mexico and into the U.S. And if you follow some people on social media, Michael Yon, Anthony Aguero, and Border Network News, these are some people that are on Twitter/X and other social media. They're exposing what's happening down on the southern border. And Anthony Aguero is amazing. He'll be down there, and he has videos where he is walking along the border down there, and there's just a line of just hundreds and hundreds of young men in their mid-20s, no families, wearing nice clothes, looking healthy and fit. And he walks down and just asks them where they're from and where they're going. And as he goes down the line, he's asking people where they're from. And there's people from Syria, from Iraq, from Iran, from all over the world, China, Senegal, all these countries in Africa. And these people are just lined up and he just asks them where they're from, where they're going. And they just randomly have, each one has a different place, almost like they were assigned to go there. California, New York, Cleveland, you know, they just start rattling off the different states and the different cities that they're going to. So I think we need to keep our eye on this. I think this is a bad situation that's happening. And I would not doubt, I would bet $1 million if I had it, that there are people that are in sleeper cells, people that are coming into this country that do not have our interests at heart, that very well may be working for foreign governments, and when the time is right, may cause terrorist attacks in the U.S. So that's another thing that we're preparing for. If you don't know what's going on, if you haven't seen it for yourself, do some research, see what's happening down there. A lot of people just kind of have their heads in the sand and think, oh, everything's just going along fine. My world's just kind of normal like it's always been. But things are stepping up. Things are, the way is being paved for possible trouble in the future. So don't be a fool, be wise. Like Proverbs 22:3 says, the wise man sees trouble and prepares, but the fool just keeps going and ends up suffering. So we don't want to be fools. We want to be wise men and women as we prepare for troubled times. Also, in Argentina, there's some great interesting news going on. Javier Milei is described by the press as a far-right libertarian. He's been seen in pictures posing with the Gadsden flag. He was just elected to their new president. And so it's going to be some interesting things to see what happens in Argentina. They've had some significant economic crisis in recent years. And so it'll be interesting to see. He's talking quite a bit about cutting wasteful spending in government. And so that'll be interesting to see. Good for Argentina. I hope he is a good man. I hope he works out the way that he is proposing and that goes well for Argentina. So watch events happening down there in Argentina. Okay, that's some world events that are going on right now that could possibly be affecting you and are affecting the world. Now to our topic of the day for the podcast. I want to do a little introduction to two-way radios. It's kind of funny, as I was looking through lists of podcasts we've done in the past, I was kind of surprised that we haven't talked about two-way radios on the podcast much. And so that's an important topic in your communications preparedness. So I thought today we would discuss a little bit about introduction of two-way radios. A very important aspect of preparedness is communications. You need to be able to talk to people. You need to be able to get people that can talk to you. You need to be able to gather information about things that are happening locally, nationally, and worldwide. So we have lots of different things. We have our PACE plan that we always talk about on our podcast. The PACE plan is your plan for your primary, alternate, contingency, and emergency plans in any kind of a topic. And when it comes to communications, what are your primary means for gathering information and communicating with one another? Well, obviously, most of us, it's our cell phone. Everybody carries these cell phones around. We can talk to our friends and family. We can text. We can call. We can go on the internet, gather information from around the world. I can watch a video of live feed from Israel, a live feed from Washington, D.C., from the border. I can see these things happening right on my phone, carrying with me every day. So that's kind of one of our primary modes right now. The internet and your computer, a laptop, another means. We have TVs in our homes, most everybody. But it's funny, more and more people are getting away from cable news and cable TV and are going through internet. There's so many. That's one thing that's good about it is lots of opportunities for independent journalists to come on board and share information with people. And so you don't get the biased news from one network or another, but you can get lots of different sources. You can gather information and make your own decisions based on wisdom. So what would happen if your cell phone stopped working? Where would you be? So these are some different scenarios that we're going to talk about. One of those scenarios is if the cell phone towers are down. This is not something that is that is unprecedented. During 9/11 attacks, during other disasters and emergencies, there's been times where the cell phones stop working. Even on a busy day when you're driving home during rush hour traffic, you can notice a slowdown in internet traffic. So it wouldn't take much for cell towers to go down. A loss of power for an extended period of time, a cyber attack, some type of mechanical failures. There's lots of different things that can happen. Or a nefarious party is shutting that down. So should our government be overrun and should we be attacked somehow by foreign powers and they come in and are able to access those communications networks, they may be able to shut those down to keep you from communicating with loved ones. So if cell towers go down, and then there's also the ISP, the internet service providers. So if you don't have your cell phone and you're not able to text or call, you can still send an email or a text over the internet. So that's an alternate means of communication. But what happens if the ISPs are down? What happens if you're not able to communicate over the internet? And then to top all that off, if the grid goes down, so if there's a loss of power. And if there's a loss of power for long term, a lot of those things might happen anyways. So these would be the different scenarios that you might find yourself in So imagine a large earthquake. In the Puget Sound region, we are due for the full rip 9.0 earthquake. Our area is on a fault line, and it could very easily, that could happen at any time. And if that did happen, for example, myself, I work in the city down the road, 20 minutes away from where I live, and should I be at work and an earthquake happen, there is enough bridges and rivers and overpasses between my home and where I work that I would be cut off from my home for probably an extended period of time. And if my wife was there and I'm there in town, it'd be hard for us to communicate. So that's where two-way radios can come in. Two-way radios basically work with electromagnetic radiation waves that go through the air. And you guys have all played with, as a child, the standard walkie-talkies, right? Push the button and talk, and the other person can hear you on theirs. And it's used modern days all the time with police and fire departments. In our fire department, we use a radio. I carry it in on every call, and I'm able to talk to the dispatchers. I'm able to talk to other fire engines and ladder trucks and the battalion chief on the radios. We're able to communicate that way. That's our primary means when we're on calls as a first responder. And so the limitations of radios usually are going to be the power of the radio, the type of antenna you're using. It's going to be the terrain of the earth and any kind of obstacles between you and the other person that you're trying to reach, right? And then it's going to be the type of frequencies that you are using. And so those are the big things that are going to cause you to be able to limit how far you can communicate and to who you can communicate. There's two different ways that radios operate, simplex or duplex. And so duplex would be like a repeater operation. So when I say simplex, that's like a line of sight radio to radio. So say imagine yourself standing in one end zone of a football field and somebody else standing 100 yards away in the other end zone. If you're on simplex operations, you push the button and you talk, your radio transmits electromagnetic frequency at a certain wavelength and frequency. It hits the other radio, the antenna receives that, and your voice comes out the speaker and that person can hear you. You got a good line of sight, there's nothing between you, and you're fairly close. But now imagine if that person was on the outside of the stadium and you're on the inside. Well, now you've got a bunch of bleachers and concrete and steel between you and that person. So those are obstacles that may limit the frequency, the reception that that person gets. Now imagine them driving a few miles away, more and more obstacles between you and them, hills, valleys, depressions. So that frequency, that those radio waves going through are limited in how far they can go and how much material they can travel through. And so you may not be able to hear them once they're a certain distance away or you have things between you. Well, that wouldn't be acceptable if you were on a fire engine and you needed to hear the dispatch tell you where your next fire call was. So what we do is we'll set up a repeater system. And what a repeater is it's a tower with an antenna on top of something high, like a building or a mountaintop or some kind of a large tower. So you may see as you're driving through your town, giant radio towers, television towers, up in the air, red and white metal structures with the lights flashing on top to keep the planes from crashing into them. The reason why they make those towers so high is they can broadcast out over a large area. Imagine yourself standing on a mountaintop or on top of a building and looking out. And your line of sight, you can see so far because you're raised up and you're above the obstacles. Well, a repeater is basically an antenna with a little radio, electronic radio device. And what it does is it's set up on a high place. So now if I'm down in the stadium on the field and there's a repeater set up at the top of the stadium, this is an open air stadium, imagine up on top of the stadium there on the big giant bulletin board there where the TV, what do they call the big TV screen up there? So the big TV screen up there, on top of that, there's a repeater. And now the person standing out in the parking lot, they can see that repeater and you can see that repeater, but I can't see the other person. So if I'm using that repeater, when I push my button, it sends the radio waves up to that repeater, and then that repeater broadcasts that out at a higher power and in all directions. So now that person standing down in the parking lot has that clear line of sight. So it's relaying your signal and sending it out to a larger, in a larger direction with at a higher power. That's a simple explanation of what a repeater is. So a lot of times they'll be on top of a mountain. In our area, there's a Tiger Mountain repeater, and it's on top of Tiger Mountain. And so it's set up, and for my house, I can send a radio call, and it will hit that repeater, and then it broadcasts that out over a huge range. And by doing that, I can extend the range that I can talk in by orders of magnitude. Right? I can talk 50, 60 miles away using a repeater, whereas without the repeater, I'm maybe talking 2 miles away or a mile away. So that's the beauty of using repeaters. Now you may ask, what do I have to do to be able to use a repeater? Well, there's different types of radios that are out there. And we're not going to get too deep into all of it right now, but I'm sure many of you are familiar with Citizens Band radios or the CB radio. There's also Marine Band VHF radios. So if you, any of you have a boat or been on a boat and you see that little radio where they can call the Coast Guard on a boat, that's a certain frequency and type of radio. Well, when it comes to two-way radios for amateur radio use and people like myself, there's also what they call GMRS radios, which are General Mobile Radio Service. And then there is the FRS radios, Family Radio Service. And then you get into actual ham radio, which is also known as amateur radio, and you get into VHF and UHF communications. And then if you get an advanced license, you can get into what they call HF radio. Now, GMRS is a UHF band, which basically is just talking about the frequency numbers. We're not going to get too technical with it right now, but Those are bands that the FCC, the government, has said, hey, you average citizen can use these bands, but we would like you to have a license, and so we kind of control what's happening over these bands. So with the GMRS, the beauty of that type of radio is you don't have to take a test in order to get your license. So for the GMRS radios, you can go onto the FCC's website. You type in your information, pay them $35, and within less than a week, usually, you'll have your GMRS license. That license allows you to operate in those bands, and GMRS is repeater capable. So you can use GMRS local repeaters that some people may set up and be able to use repeater radios, talk over long distance with an inexpensive radio, with very little output on yourself as far as the effort you need to put in. If you do want to get your ham license, you can get your ham technician license, which is the first level, and that'll allow you to use VHF and UHF and the ham bands, and there's a lot of repeaters out there as well. So the GMRS repeaters are more limited. Once you get your ham license, you start getting access to a lot more repeaters. And then with HF radio, we're not going to get too deep into HF right now, but the beauty of an HF radio is those radios, when the waves are sent up into the atmosphere, they will bounce off the ionosphere and they can travel around the world. So when you see the people in the movies or reading the books where you've got a guy in, you know, somewhere in the US and he's actually talking to somebody or listening to somebody in Australia or talking to somebody in Europe or in Tokyo, that would be an HF radio operator. And so that's a little more advanced operation and a little more advanced license test that you have to take. But those are a great way to not be limited by repeaters. So repeaters need power to operate. And so over long term, if a repeater's battery goes dead, it doesn't have power to it, it doesn't have a generator powering it up, eventually you'll end up losing those repeaters. So that's something to think about. There's also another thing in HF radio called near vertical incident sky wave, or NVIS, and that allows you to send your signal straight up in the air, bounces down off the ionosphere, and rains down in your general area. So you can go many miles away with that type of communications, and it's a good way to go. But those are a little more advanced techniques. But for the average user, it's very simple to get a GMRS radio or a ham VHF or UHF capable radio for low price and very minimal effort and be able to communicate over long distances. Imagine being able to, with the cell phones down, contact your loved ones that are 20, 30 miles away in an emergency. That's priceless capabilities. I'm going to suggest a couple radios out there right now. And now, depending on who you talk to, guys that are really into radios, they will say that the Chinese radios that are out there that are inexpensive are not a good way to go. But for entry level, if you haven't used one before and you don't want to spend a couple hundred dollars starting off in a new hobby or a new area of preparedness, the Baofeng radios, and it's pronounced, it's B-A-O-F-E-N-G, Baofeng, and those are one of the most popular radios ever produced. There's millions and millions of them out there in circulation. The UV-5R, that's Uniform Victor 5 Romeo radios, you can get those for $20, $25 on Amazon. And you'll have a radio that will have the basic capabilities that you need to be able to talk on a repeater and to be able to talk to other people and listen. Now remember, without your license, you're not authorized technically to talk and use VHF, UHF ham bands or GMRS repeaters or license or radios without your license. So, you know, act accordingly. Now, there's nothing that says, even if you don't have your license, that you can't listen. You can listen all day and gather information. So at least by having the radio and nothing else, you can look up some frequencies and try to scan and hear what's going on. But you don't want to just be listening. You don't want to be passive. You want to be proactive and active, and being able to reach out and talk to people that you need to talk to is the way to go. So with a little bit of training, a little bit of study, you can do that. So the UV-5R radio, and the next one is, I would suggest, is called the AR-152. That's also a Baofeng, Alpha Romeo-152. This radio is kind of a knockoff in form function of the Harris military style radio. A little bit bigger, a little bit heavier than the UV-5R, but it has an extended battery capability. So the battery on that is like, I think it's like four times more milliamp hours of capability out of that battery than the smaller UV-5R radio. So, and those are a lot more water resistant and a little more rugged. So the AR-152 radio. I'd like to suggest to you that if you are going to get some of these radios, that you get the book by NC Scout from Brush Beater Training. The book is called The Gorilla's Guide to the Baofeng. This can be purchased on Amazon or also from NC Scout's website, the Brush Beater Store. So Matt's a great guy over there, and he's been on his podcast and taken his classes. He does radio classes. Great guy. He's got an amazing book that has tons of information for you to learn how to use that Baofeng radio. There's also some other great radios out there by Yaesu, Ocean. That's spelled W-O-U-X-U-N. Or there's also the ICOM, Kenwood make radios for VHF and UHF. Those radios can be a lot higher quality. They also be a lot more expensive. But some of the problems there is that they follow a little more stricter the FCC guidelines and laws and rules as far as the band capabilities. So these Chinese radios, and one thing that people like to put them down is that they will allow you to listen and talk on some of the bands that technically you weren't authorized to talk on. So when you order those radios, they'll come locked down so that you can't use the GMRS frequencies. Now, there's ways, when you look online, you can find a way to unlock that with the factory reset, so you can actually use that as a GMRS radio. But just be aware, I'm telling you that according to the strict FCC rules and guidelines, you're not supposed to do that. Have I heard of anybody using those radios getting in trouble for doing that? No. Do I think it's kind of silly that they do that? That's a matter of opinion. But in case of an emergency, you are authorized to do what you need to do to save life and limb. So, you know, like I said, act accordingly. There's lots of upgrades that you can get as well for the Balfrain radio. One of the things I'm going to do is, I'm working on right now, providing on the website, some prepackaged radio kits. So I'll have a basic radio kit, I'll have an upgraded antenna and battery option, and also the advanced kit, which will include a magnetic mount for your vehicle that can come down and plug right in to your radio. And those will be packaged up in a nice pouch that you can have in your vehicle or in your bug out bag. So all you need to do is pull it out. I'll make those radios pre-programmed so you can pull it out. You can go click right to the channel you need, hook up the radio antenna, and you'll be on the go, ready to communicate with your loved ones and people. So that's going to be coming soon on the project223.com website. Stay tuned there for more. There's also upgraded batteries that you can buy for those that are relatively inexpensive. So you can upgrade and you can get into a lot, but just getting your basic radio to start off is a good way to go. Some of the things that also I talked about, terrain and distance, the power and wattage of your radio will send the signal further. So the radios I've been talking about, the UV5R, the AR152, they're handheld radios. They're called HTs or handy talkies. They're a handheld portable radio. They also have two other types that you can get. You can get a mobile radio, which be one mounted in your vehicle, or a base station type radio. And that'd be one that sits on a desktop that's not designed to move around. You can take a mobile radio and use that as a base station radio, which is what I do with the GMRS. I have a Midland 40 watt GMRS mobile radio that sits on my desk as a base station. If you have a base station radio, you can get higher powered. So the one I have is a 40 watt. You can get up to 50 watt in mobile radios. And then you can go a lot higher than that as far as your bigger base station type fixed station radios. And then what you can do is you can run a wire up to a set up a pole on your side of your building or your house and put a radio up antenna on top of your house and get a lot further range than just a small handheld radio. So I have a antenna sticking up over my shop, and that gives me good range and good distance out of my 40 watt base station radio that I have here. So those are more considerations that you can have. And also, too, atmospheric conditions can affect your communications. One of the important things about being a radio operator and being able to know radios is being able to practice. Lots of people will buy a radio and they'll think, okay, I got it, put it in my drawer, put it in a Faraday cage to protect it. And when bad things happen, when SHTF, I'm just going to pull that out and I'll be able to talk to people. But if you don't practice with your radio, if you don't know how to use it, you're not going to be able to do what you think you're going to be able to do in the troubled times. So to be able to get your license and be able to get out and practice with your group, there's lots of different radio clubs out there that do nets. A net is just a scheduled time where people get online and talk. There's tons of those out there that you can get on and practice before troubled times hit. And that way you'll be ready to go. You'll be prepared. So then some training. Other training items, SOIs are what they call a signal operating instructions. And that's a plan for how you're going to talk on the radio. And there's two different types of SOIs. There's a sustainment and there's tactical. So for sustainment SOIs, you may have with your group a list of frequencies, some primary alternate frequencies, and ways that you're going to communicate with each other. You may also have a schedule set up that says, hey, if a disaster or emergency happens, we're going to use this protocol every hour. And the Channel 3 project's a great example of that, that the American Redoubt Radio Operators Network, AMRON, has kind of pushed that one through. It's the Channel 3 project, and it says that if the disaster or emergency strikes, it's as easy as 3-2-1. Go to Channel 3 for 2 minutes every 1 hour. And so that would be Channel 3 on the CB, Channel 3 on GMRS, Channel 3, and I think it's also, they have a frequency that's involved there. I think it's the simplex, it's 146.520, I believe, or it might be a different one, but they use a radio simplex frequency. And so they put those that protocol out there so that you and people that you know, should there be an emergency, if everybody does that, then they'll be on there and you can connect with people that are close by. You may want to come up with your own protocol. There's also what's called the Wilderness Protocol, which is designed for backcountry travelers and people in areas where there's no cell service. And in that, the Wilderness Protocol, they do every 3 hour radio check-in. So then it starts at 7 a.m. So 7 a.m., 10 a.m., 1300, 1600, 1900. So and it goes from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. And then they come on the radio channel for 5 minutes or 10 minutes every 3 hours. And the reason why they do that instead of just leaving it on the whole time is that you don't want your batteries to die if you don't have a way to recharge those. So like if everybody knows to come on at a certain window and listen and try to communicate, then that's a good way to do that, to preserve your batteries and to make sure you're not just trying to talk when nobody's listening or vice versa. So that's important. So your sustainment SOIs are the ones that you have. They might be published. You might have a list for your group. And that's the ones you use on a normal basis. But once those are out there and compromised, should you need to use radios in a tactical situation, say, for example, the U.S. is attacked by a foreign power and we're being occupied and you are a partisan resistor that's trying to fight back against, say, the Chinese or Red Dawn situation, like you guys have all seen the movie, right? Well, if you need to communicate in a tactical situation, you're not going to want to have SOIs that are already printed out and that are listed that somebody could get their hands on and now they would know your frequencies. So if you're going to use radios in a tactical situation, each time you use those radios, you're going to want to come up with a new SOI, a new plan, and new comms windows. So you'd have different frequencies, different channels. You may label each of those channels with a code word, so that rather than telling your team, go to channel 444.520, and then everybody hears that and goes there as well, you might say, go to channel Bravo, and that Bravo channel, your team knows that it's 442 point whatever it is. So that's a good way to keep your communications clandestine and not letting somebody who's trying to harm you, whether that be the cannibalistic San Franciscan zombies that are attacking or the invading army from a foreign country. You want to keep your team safe. Also, using proper voice procedures is very important. When you go to talk on a radio, whether that's a handheld mic or the actual radio, you need to look on that radio. Usually you'll see a little hole where the microphone is. It's not very clearly labeled sometimes. But if you hold that radio up, you can look and see on the face where the little hole is. That's the microphone. So you want your mouth and your speaking to be straight towards the microphone, or if it's a handheld mic, you hold it up in front of your mouth. You want to have it about 2 inches away. And when you speak, you want to speak slowly and clearly so that people can understand what you're saying. Make sure you push down the button that you use to talk. It's called the PTT, or the push to talk switch. Push that button down and wait for a second or two before you start speaking. Because a lot of times when you push down, some people will start talking right as they're pushing down. And as the radio picks up the voice, it takes a second. And so they might cut off parts of their communications. And also when you're finishing your radio speech or whatever you're saying over the radio, then you stop talking, wait an extra second, and then release the button. Same as the other way, you don't want to cut off your communications. When you get ready to talk and you turn on your radio, make sure you check the radio channel that you're on that somebody else isn't already talking. You don't want to just turn it on, click the button, and start talking if somebody else is on the channel having a conversation already. Your channel, your transmission may be cut off and not be, you know, not go out like it is, or you may cut off somebody else's. So turn it on, monitor that channel for a moment, wait to see if anybody's talking, and then do your communication. And make sure you obey the rules and the laws that the FCC puts out while we're in times of peace now. Remember also, though, when times of trouble or danger happens or emergency, you need to do what you need to do to take care of your family. So you can, if you needed to try to use a radio and you didn't have your license to save your life or somebody else's, nobody's going to be reporting you for that. Also, privacy. Many radios have what they call privacy tones or privacy channels, CTCSS tones. What that does is when you're using a repeater or talking to somebody and you want to have a private conversation back and forth with that person, you don't want other people chirping in and talking and confusing that. So there'll be a certain tone that you can put in. It's a sub-audible tone. You can't hear it. But unless the other radio picks up that tone when you are transmitting, it won't break squelch. It won't open its receiver up. So what that does is that allows you to have a conversation with somebody without other people chiming in and making talking and interrupting you. But the problem with that is it's really almost an anti-privacy tone, because those people can hear you talking, but you just can't hear them. So you may have somebody down the road and you're talking to your, you know, somebody that's trying to get to your house and they're experiencing trouble and danger on the road. And so they're trying to work their way through the danger and they're talking to you. You can hear them. You're talking back. You might not be able to hear anybody else, but other people listening can hear your conversation back and forth. So you need to be aware of that there is no real privacy when you're using two-way radios. The best you can do is try to use channels that nobody else is using at that moment and have the opportunity and ability to move to alternate channels should the need arise. So just be aware of that. Some other resources out there. We've talked about NC Scout and his Guerrilla Guide to the Baofeng and his classes, which are amazing. Also, Josh with Ham Radio Crash Course has some great YouTube videos out there. So I would go on to his videos. He's got hundreds, lots and lots of videos, and he talks everything from advanced concepts down to just the basic using radios for beginners. Also, Not a Rubicon on YouTube. He does a great job. He's a funny guy, and he does a great job with GMRS radios. He does reviews, does operations and training. So he's another one that's a good one to look at. And if you're looking for products, you're looking for people that put out good radio pouches that you for that Baofeng, X Umbris Designs is a great company that does tactical chest rigs and pouches, and they have a great radio pouch that fits that UV5R radio. And they're a great company. Also, the AR-152 radio. They have a new pouch in collaboration with our friend Joe Dolio from Tactical Wisdom. They designed a great pouch that will fit on your backpack strap or on your, your tactical load-bearing equipment that will hold that radio. So be sure to check those out. Well, I appreciate you being with us today on the Project 223 podcast and doing a little radio communications intro. We're going to have more on that in the future. Lots of good classes, lots of good training out there. Don't get caught unprepared when it comes to communications. Make sure that you are able to communicate with your loved ones in times of need, that you're able to gather information, important information that can affect you and your family should the cell phones go down, should the grid go down. You don't want to be unprepared. Well, that's all we got for today. Thanks for joining us. We hope you have a great Thanksgiving here. 2023. It's going to be a great end of the year. And 2024, we got a lot going on. It's going to be a crazy year. We want to be prepared for anything that comes our way. So thanks for joining us on the Project 223 Podcast. Reading you 5x5, good buddy, licking chickens.